Arnold called, and we had church on the phone again. He cried. He prophesied over me. I'm telling you, we had a time. He said, I'm praying right now, and I see an angel of the Lord standing right beside you. I said, I'll take that. Praise God. I walked into the office tonight, and our bishop, Brother Tenney, came over and said, I hope you'll receive this. But when we were praying, I saw an angel standing right beside you. That's two great men of God told me that in 30 days. I'm just going to believe it. Is that all right? Praise God. I do give honor to Brother Tenney. I appreciate him so very much, and Sister Mangan. And I want to say, specifically calling on these two, their voices have never been more important to the apostolic movement than they are today. Don't you thank God for the elders among us speaking to our lives? You probably won't have time to turn to all the verses with me, but let's read. Psalm 51 and 12. The Scripture says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalm 80 and verse 7 in the Amplified Version says, restore us again, O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine upon us with favor as of old, and we shall be saved. Psalm 138 and 7 said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Jeremiah 30 and 17 said, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Joel 2 and 25, we all know it, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Turn to two or three people and say to them one word, the word restoration, and then you may be seated. I give honor to my wonderful wife tonight, who is a better prayer warrior than I am. I love her. Would you help me appreciate her tonight? Each year in October or November, before the holidays begin, I try to spend the better part of a week with the Lord, away from family, away from the church, away from everybody. And generally, in that time frame, I'm seeking God about the coming year. I'm asking God to give me direction for our church specifically for the coming year. This last year, first week of November, I had the opportunity to do that, to spend several days with the Lord. And it was in that particular time with the Lord that God spoke to me that in the year 2015, that He would send five powerful restorations to our church. I've never had God speak to me like this before, but I know the voice of the Lord, and I knew I had heard from God that 2015 would be a time of restoration for us. God spoke to me, first of all, that He would give personal restoration, a restoration in our personal relationship with Him. The second restoration He talked to me about was a restoration of faith in the Word of God. The third restoration was a restoration of prodigals. God promised me in those days of praying that in 2015 that He would send prodigals back home. Your children, my children, your family, my family, your loved ones, my loved ones. He said they're coming home in 2015. The fourth restoration God promised me was family. That He would restore marriages and He would restore homes and that He would strengthen families. And the fifth restoration that God promised me was a restoration of apostolic power and authority. That's the one we all want. Am I right? That's the one we talk the most about. But when God began to deal with me about each of these restorations, the first restoration is our personal relationship with God. I want you to know on the last night of this great because of the times that personal restoration is vital to us as apostolics, because personal restoration precedes every other great move of God that takes place in your life. Restoration of personal relationship precedes a time of refreshing. It precedes a greater anointing. If you're hungry for more anointing, there's got to be a personal restoration that comes first. Personal restoration precedes advancement in the kingdom. It precedes revelation. It precedes spiritual authority. It precedes favor and blessing. And that's why personal restoration is so vital among us. I know tonight that I'm talking to perhaps the busiest, and I say it carefully, but perhaps the most important people on the face of the earth are sitting in this room tonight. I highly respect every one of you. I highly respect the call of God and anointing of God that's upon your life. But could I say to you tonight, as one of you, that performing tasks, that setting and reaching goals, that ministry success, that singing and soul winning and preaching and teaching and position will never take the place of relationship with God. Never. Relationship is more important to God than any position or any responsibility or any function of ministry. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's more important to God than anything else you do? Seems like you believe that. But do you also believe that it ought to be more important to you than any other position or function or responsibility that you have in the kingdom? Say amen, somebody. Pastor Anthony preached relationship with passion on Tuesday night. And I sat there and I thought, we're getting it. We're getting it. There was such a move of the Holy Ghost. I felt that restoration come in here. I believe one of the reasons we had such powerful services Wednesday morning is because of the restoration that took place here on Tuesday night. There's a bunch of us that put our face in the carpet and we told God afresh that our relationship with Him was more important than anything else in our life. The second restoration is faith in the Word of God. Now we know today that the Word of God has many enemies and that it's being challenged on every hand. I'm not going to say much about this restoration because last night Brother Mike Williams covered it and again we got it. But the Apostle Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Didn't you appreciate that message we heard last night on the Word of God? There was a restoration in this place last night. God restored our faith in His Word, and there are men that went out of here and women that went out of here last night with their minds made up that the Word of God is going to be the final authority in my life, that I can trust the Word of God. I can believe in the Word of God. The third restoration is that of prodigals. God promised me that prodigals were going to come back in 2015. We had great church where I pastor in 2014. We grew to 714 active members in 2014. We had 588 first-time guests. We had 214 new people added to the active roll. 141 water baptized in Jesus' name. 394 filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And 49 out of 52 Sundays of the year, we had somebody baptized and got the Holy Ghost in 2014. But the statistic that I'm happier about than anything I just read to you is that in 2014, 31 prodigals came home. 31 of them in 1 year. I'm not talking about people that just needed a refill or were sitting on a pew and had grown cold in God. I'm talking about people that were in the world, living in sin, away from God, on their way to hell. And some of them hadn't been in church for years. And God brought 31 of them back in 1 year. One of the reasons this is so important to me is that I know that every family in this place has at least one prodigal in your family. I know that we all have friends who have fallen away. Many of us sadly have children who are not living for God. And I'm telling you, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, with that angel standing beside me that Brother Kenny and Brother Arnold said would be standing here, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your prodigal is coming home in 2015. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Both Sister Mangan and Brother Tim Gaddy preached to us and reminded us that seeking and saving the lost is still the most important task of the church. And when they were done, we put our faces in the floor and we recommitted to that. It was another restoration. The fourth restoration God promised me was family. If you don't understand how much family means to God, you need to read the Old Testament of your Bible again. Because the entire Old Testament of your Bible was written to and about families. You think the church is important as an institution? And I hear some of you say, and I beg to differ with you, that church is more important than family. Can I tell you that God dealt with the family 4,000 years before He ever created a church? I'm concerned when we look at the Scripture and we don't understand, we don't let it leap off the pages to us, the importance of saving our own families. We're preaching all over the world, and I'm preaching to you, preacher. We're preaching everywhere. We're working for the church 27 hours every day, 8 days a week. We're giving it all we got, but some of us are doing it at the destruction of our marriage and the destruction of our family. And I've come to tell you, in the middle of an apostolic message, that's not the will of God. The Old Testament, 37 times it says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And every time it says it, it's saying the God of grandpa, son, and grandson. Every time the Bible talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, it's talking about 12 brothers that led 12 families. All them chapters in your bread reading we're doing right now in our church, that's John begat Joe, and Joe begat Tom, and Tom begat Sue, and Sue begat Phyllis or whoever it is, all of that begat stuff you want to skip over, that's the lineage, that's the family, that's God letting you and I know how important it is that what we have, we pass down to our children, and we protect our children and our family. I haven't had a chance to study it out. But I was in a meeting with Brother Stone King where he preached just getting back from Israel. And he talked about how that a rabbi in Jerusalem kept referencing Rosebud. Young men are walking around the temple there. And He said, this old priest kept saying, that's a rosebud, that's a rosebud. And finally he stopped him and said, what do you mean rosebud? What are you talking about, rosebuds? And he said, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel began to move as a people, 3 to 5 million strong, in the middle of the camp, they would bring all the sons of the priest, all the children of the priest, and they'd put them on carts. All 3 to 5 million walking, but they put carts in the middle of that great group, and they put their kids on the carts. And the rabbi told him, that's what we call rosebuds, because that's the future of truth. That's the future of revelation. That's the future of who God is. That's the future of what we believe. He said it was the most protected place. He said 3 to 5 million was walking, but the rosebuds were riding. And he said if anybody attacked us, they'd have to kill 3 to 5 million before they could ever get to the rosebuds in the middle. Some of you need to change your mind about your family, about your children, about what God has given you to protect. There needs to be a restoration among us concerning our family. Somebody said amen. Somebody said amen. Christians today are facing unprecedented spiritual battles. God and truth and righteousness and the very Word of God are ferociously challenged in the arenas of education, in the arena of government, in the arena of the courts. Almost every day we're hearing the court makes an anti-God decision. And Washington, D.C. comes out with some anti-God thinking or stipulation or idea that pushes God and righteousness down further. Let the government be challenged. Let education be challenged. Let the court system be challenged. Let our family be challenged. And listen to me, apostolic, the one we must win, whether we win in Washington or not, whether we win in the courts or not, whether we win at the school or not, we've got to win in our family. Say amen, somebody. The fifth and final restoration that God promised me is a restoration of apostolic power and authority. Now, Brother Mark Morgan is my witness. He knows I'm preaching what I told him I was going to preach a couple weeks ago, because I sat on the front row of a conference in Ohio and showed him my notes 2 weeks ago. I didn't know what was going to happen because of the times. But when I sat with him on the front row there in Ohio and told him the five restorations that God had promised me, when I got to the point of talking to him about this fifth one, I said, God also told me that the first four restorations have to take place before the fifth one can take place. God cannot give us apostolic power and authority until our relationship with Him is right. He cannot trust us with apostolic power and authority if our relationship with Him is not right. Amen? God will not give us apostolic power and authority if we've allowed our faith in the Word of God to be weakened. If we're questioning the very Word of God, heaven and earth's going to pass away, but that Word's going to stand forever. And when you start chiseling away at it, when you start deciding, I don't like this and I don't like that, I don't believe this and I'm not going to follow that, God backs up and says, they're not ready for apostolic power and authority. God spoke to me that restoration of apostolic power and authority is preceded by a revival of prodigals. God's got to check us out. He's got to make sure our spirit's right, our motive's right, our love for the lost is right. He's got to make sure that if He gives us a harvest, we're going to treat it right. I don't have time to preach it, but there's no room in the apostolic church for the elder brother syndrome that's out in the barn pouting because his lost brother came home. Apostolic power and authority. Apostolic power and authority is rendered ineffective when it tries to operate from broken marriages and busted up homes. And God said, the first four have to precede the fifth. The fifth's the one we shout about all the time. The fifth's the one we get all excited about. Apostolic power, apostolic authority. We want to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We want to cast out devils. We want to speak the word of faith and have hundreds, if not thousands, get the Holy Ghost. We want a great move of God in our churches. But God said for you to get from this point to that point, you got to get your relationship with me right. You've got to be committed to the word of God. You've got to get your family right. You've got to love the lost. And if you can get those four things right, then I can trust you with apostolic power and apostolic authority. Clap your hands to the Lord if you will. Now here is what I didn't know coming here. I thought I was going to preach to you tonight that we haven't done the first four yet, and we got to do them to get to number five. But I sat three rows back and I watched relationship taken care of Tuesday night. I watched word taken care of Wednesday night. I watched loving the lost taken care of yesterday morning and this morning. I watched us as every minister that has stood in this pulpit, have you noticed, has talked about family, and some of them with tears streaming down their face. And when they wept, you wept. And I sat three rows back and the Holy Ghost starts talking to me again that those first four restorations have already began at because of the times 2015. This isn't something we got to go home and do. This is something God's already started right here. You may be seated. I believe with every ounce of my being, and that's a bunch of them, even though I've lost 160 pounds, I'm still the biggest guy in the room. I believe with every ounce of my being that there is apostolic power and apostolic authority in this room. And I believe that just the way we had a restoration on that first night of relationship and a restoration last night of love for the Word of God, you better get ready for this, honey. There's going to be a restoration of apostolic power and apostolic authority that is unleashed in this place tonight. We're going to leave here different than we came. Somebody shout yes. God bless you. You may be seated. I believe that there is an anointing coming upon this conference tonight. An anointing that's going to change us. An anointing that's going to change our churches. An anointing that's going to change the apostolic world. An anointing that's going to change our city. I don't need all 3,000 of you to get a hold of it. Is there one? Is there 10? Is there 100? Is there 200 that'll say, I want that power and I want that anointing. I want it tonight. Tonight! Hold on a minute. You know what the devil would not like? The Bible said in the book of Jude, it's only one chapter long, but what a powerful book. The Bible said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, without you saying one word. Would you throw your head back and start talking in tongues like a Chinaman right now? All over this building! Praying in the Holy Ghost! Is this mine? In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. You may be seated. I've said this in every meeting I've preached in the last 6 months. And I'm going to say it again tonight, and I'm going to say it everywhere I'm going to preach in the near future. Are you ready? It is impossible to have apostolic power and authority without apostolic doctrine. Impossible. It is impossible to build an apostolic church without apostolic doctrine. I didn't say you can't build a church without it. I said you can't build an apostolic church without apostolic doctrine. It is impossible for you and I to have an apostolic ministry without apostolic doctrine. I'm 57 years old. 4 or 5 times this week I've heard somebody say, "You young men, I want you young men to know I got more faith in you than I do some of our old men." I'm talking to some of you my age, 57 years old. This isn't no time to be backing up on who we are and what we believe and what we preach. Oh no! Oh no! What is apostolic doctrine? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and Him alone shall you serve. Apostolic doctrine is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Apostolic doctrine. Some of you may want to sit down so you're not embarrassed. Apostolic doctrine is holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Apostolic doctrine is, "Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Apostolic doctrine is, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Are you sure you want to be apostolic? Are you sure you want an apostolic church? Are you sure you want apostolic ministry? You may be seated. I don't want to have to scream this at you. I want to just say it, and I want you to hear it. You listen to this preacher when I tell you that holiness and separation are just as much a part of one God apostolic doctrine as one God or Acts 2:38 is. It is just as much a part of apostolic doctrine. How do you know that? Because the apostles were one God. Because the apostles wrote about holiness. The apostles wrote about separation. And if it's not for us today, can you please tell me when it stopped being for us? Can you tell me what day it was and the next day it wasn't? And can you tell me who made the decision that yesterday it was, but tomorrow it's not? Are you sure you want to have an apostolic church? You may be seated. We apostolics believe that Jesus is coming soon. The only person that doesn't believe Jesus is coming soon is the one with their head in the sand. If you're watching the news, listening to the news, reading the news, have any source of news every single day. Not once a month, once a week, but every single day. The signs of the times are unfolding all around us. Jesus is coming, friend. Elbow your neighbor and tell him Jesus is coming. We not only believe that Jesus is coming, we believe that prior to His coming is going to be the greatest end time revival that the world has ever seen. Anybody believe what I do? The Bible said the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. The Bible said in the evening time there shall be light. The Word of God said in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Is there anybody here that believes that He's going to give us the former rain and the latter rain, both at the same time? I don't know how you preach it, but we got a lot of apostolics that preach it wrong. They talk about Acts 2 as being the former rain and the revival today being the latter rain. God didn't say, I'm going to give you the former rain back then and the latter rain up there. He said, in the last days, I'm going to give you the former rain. That's everything they had in the book of Acts. Plus, I'm going to give you the latter rain at the same time. Amen. And we are seeing the beginnings of that end time revival right now. Right now. Bruce Howe told me yesterday that in 2014, Global Missions reported 123,860 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I rejoiced with him, and he said, but hold on. We know we didn't get right numbers because we added 240,000 new people to our constituents in the same year. So we must have had a whole lot more than 123,000 get the Holy Ghost. I talked to our superintendent yesterday 5 or 6 times in the same day. And he and I was working on numbers. I told him I want to give a number, but I want it to be accurate. And he and I agreed that last year in North America, God filled at least 60,000 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That means that last year, everybody say in 1 year. Say it again, in 1 year. The book of Acts covers 75 years, but in 1 year, 183,860 were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's an average of 501 a day. That means every 6 days in the United Pentecostal Church, we have a day of Pentecost revival every 6 days. It only happened 3 times in the whole book of Acts. It happened 61 times last year. Now hold on. I love you. But I don't agree with you. When you stand in the pulpit and talk about revival around the next bend. Revival over the next horizon. Revival in the next decade. Revival down the road. Revival's coming down the road. You know, we've figured out all kind of eloquent ways to say we don't believe it's here yet. I want you to know I believe it's here. I believe revival has already begun. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
Now here's what I want you to understand. You may be seated. The end time apostolic church will be God's greatest and most powerful church of all time. The end time church. I said the end time church. Elbow your neighbor and say, that's us. Say, we're part of that. I don't care what organization you're sitting here representing tonight. If you believe in apostolic doctrine, if you believe in the truth and righteousness that's in the Word of God, that's us. That promise is us. And it's time for every apostolic. Let me slow down. It's time for every apostolic to prepare his or herself and to qualify his or herself for service in the end time church. I don't agree with this idea that when it comes, it'll just fall on us and wherever it falls, it'll be happenstance. It may fall here, it may fall there. Not me, honey. I'm getting ready for it. If they tell me I got to pray more, I'm going to pray more. If they tell me I got to give more, I'm going to give more. If they tell me I've got to witness more, I'm going to witness more. If they tell me I've got to dig deeper in my relationship, I'm going to dig deeper in my relationship. Because I've made my mind up. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be a part of what God does at the end time. Time for us to find and fill our place in the kingdom. I don't say this lightly. It's time for us to embrace our apostolic identity and our apostolic, here's a word, destiny. You are not predestined as an individual. But hear me, this church is predestined. God's church is predestined. Say amen, somebody. John the Revelator wrote, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. And I'm here to tell you, apostolics, tonight, that God has opened a door that no man or no devil can shut it. I want you to quit worrying about if this happens and that happens and something else happens and if the devil does this and the devil does that, then maybe we can make it and maybe we can't. I've got news for you, honey. God has opened a door that no man or no devil is going to be able to shut. There is not. Somebody said last night the devil was in here. I leaned over and told Mark Morgan, there ain't a devil within 50 miles of this place. But if there's one, got his head in the door somewhere. I'm telling you, there is not a devil in hell that can stop you from doing the will of God if your mind is made up to let God use you. Brother Roscoe, run up here. He didn't know I was going to do this. I didn't know I was going to do this. Come up here. Some of you that's worried about who you are and what city you're in, he pastors in the worst city in America. He probably don't think that. He probably thinks it's beautiful. He pastors in Los Angeles. He goes in places you wouldn't walk into. He was a home missionary under me. I sent him there as a home missionary. He started with his own family and a house. You know what he has now in Los Angeles? They have 25 daughter churches. And when they come together on Sunday night, they have to rent the Los Angeles City Auditorium because there's more than 5,000 of them now.
6,500.
He just corrected me. Their last service, they had 6,500 in. I don't care what city you're in. I don't care what kind of devils you're facing. If you'll let God use you. You may be seated. I'm watching God bring in entire congregations. to the apostolic doctrine. I'm having pastors tell me that they're baptizing whole churches and praying whole churches through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was preaching in church one night. A man come up to me, good looking dude. Walked down the aisle to me, tears streaming down his face. He said, I heard you preach about the Holy Ghost tonight. I just don't know if it's for me. I said, what's your name? He said, Craig. He said, I'm the pastor of the United Methodist Church. And he said, I'm just not sure that I should try to get the Holy Ghost. I said, Craig, would you do me a favor? He said, yes, sir. I said, would you go out and talk to God by yourself tomorrow, next week, whenever? But when it's just you and God, would you ask Him, God, if this Holy Ghost is for me, would you give it to me? He said, yes, sir, I'll do that. He walked down the aisle out of the church. We went on, had altar service. 25, 30 people got the Holy Ghost. About 30, 40 minutes later, he come walking back in the aisle, down the aisle, tears running down his face, walked right up to the pulpit. And I said, what's going on with you, Craig? He said, I went out there and got in my Volkswagen Beetle. I pulled out of the church parking lot up on the highway. I started down the highway and I said, what you told me to, God, if this Holy Ghost is real, would you give it to me? And he said, I pulled my Volkswagen over on the side of the road and God filled me. Yes, 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 yes. You may be seated. He asked me to come speak at his church. I said, I'd be glad to. He called a service on an off night. There's about 80 of them there on that off night. He sat on the front of the platform while he talked to them in a turtleneck shirt. And I thought, well, I'm not going to get up there and preach. So I sat on the front of the platform and talked to them. And talked to them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a United Methodist church. And while I was talking to him about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a man stood up and he argued with his pastor. He didn't give his question to me. He gave it to Craig. He said, why would you dare do this to our church? Why would you call this meeting? He said, that Holy Ghost isn't for us today. We're not supposed to be speaking in tongues and falling out on the floor. And before Craig or I could answer him, there was an 86-year-old woman sitting on the front row. Little tiny feeble lady. And she turned around and said, I don't remember his name, Jimmy, Johnny, whatever it was. Said, why don't you sit down, honey? Let me talk to you. I remember your daddy when he was a teenager and an old preacher came through this same Methodist church 80 some years ago and the spirit fell and she pointed to the front row and she said, I saw your daddy laying under that pew right there speaking with other tongues just like this preacher talked about tonight. I'm happy to tell you that God filled 66 of them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Elbow your neighbor and say, restoration. You may be seated. A genuine apostolic church believes in apostolic doctrine and apostolic demonstration. There ain't going to be so many of you want to jump up and shout for about the next 12 seconds. A church that has apostolic doctrine down pat, but no apostolic demonstration, is not an apostolic church. Let me flip that coin over and tell you that a church that has apostolic demonstration and has no apostolic doctrine is not an apostolic church. for you to be an apostolic church. You've got to have a death grip on apostolic doctrine, and you've got to allow apostolic demonstration. The end time apostolic church is going to make an equal commitment. You don't want to say amen, don't feel obligated to. But the end time apostolic church is going to make an equal commitment to apostolic doctrine and apostolic demonstration. And they're not going to be happy if they don't have both. If they don't have apostolic doctrine, they're not going to be happy. If they don't have apostolic demonstration among them, they're not going to be satisfied. There's got to be both among us. You may be seated. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus appointed and sent 72 by 2. And He said He sent them to every city and place, listen to this, whither He Himself would come. He said, I'm going to send you ahead of Me into a city, but hold on. I'm going to show up there. I got good news for you. When you leave because of the times 2015, I don't care if you point your car north, south, east, or west. God's sending you home from because of the times 2015. And He said, I'm going to send you back to that city, but hold on. I'm fixing to show up there. I'm going to show up in that place. You go ahead. You get things ready. And I'm fixing to show up. I believe that when you leave this conference, He's sending you out with the power to heal, the power to deliver, the power to call down miracles. When you leave this conference, He's sending you with the power to overcome every devil that dares get in your path. Somebody preach with me. Say, greater is He. Let's say it together. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you ready for this? Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Are you ready for this? And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Why don't you elbow your neighbor and say, hey, that's who I am. Elbow somebody else and say, that's what I got. Elbow somebody else and say, that's what I'm leaving here with. Sit down just for a minute. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the pastors that have told me this week, Brother Cunningham, I've been to hell and back last year. Brother Cunningham, I camped out right outside the gates of hell last year. The enemy did this and the enemy done that. I'm sitting in my room today talking to Lee Stone King, and I said, Brother Stone King, pray for these precious people. There's a bunch of them that have been to hell and back. And Brother Stone King said, you tell them for me, the devil fights the hardest where he fears the most. Some of you have been to hell and back. Some of you are still there. But you need to know the reason the devil's fighting you is because he's afraid of you. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Turn to somebody, look them straight in the eye and say, you have power over the devil. Poke them right in the middle of the chest if you have to. Tell them you have power over the devil. Yes, 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 yes.
It is getting ready to explode. It's getting ready to explode.
Why don't you tell somebody else now? Why don't you use what you got?
Put your hands out over this audience in the name of the Lord. Raise your hands over them. At 7:15, I looked at my wife and said, the angel of the Lord is in this house tonight. The angel of the Lord is in this house tonight. Raise your hands over this church. Brother Cox, raise your hands. Elder Penny, come out here and lift your hands over. Some of you guys, come and help me. All of you, line up across here. I want you to put your hands across this place. Some of you have been fighting with stuff you think you don't have no control over. And I'm telling you right now, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, with that angel of the Lord in this house, you do have control over it. And we're going to take control over it right now. Right now. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Here comes power and authority. By the authority of the Word of God. By the power that's in the name Jesus. I speak freedom. I speak deliverance. I speak victory. I speak healing. Come on, God's healing you right now. God's delivering you right now. Some of you have situations at home that you think have been bigger than you can handle. But right now, God is giving you authority over it.
Everybody listen just for a moment. Listen to me for one moment. There's healing in this house right now. And there's deliverance in this house right now. Listen, you know about things none of us know about up here. You know things about people on your row and the row, the aisle across from you, we don't know. It's important that every human in this room is led by the Holy Ghost right now. I want you to step out of where you are. Believers are going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you know of somebody that needs a miracle, don't even hesitate. Go right now. Move out of where you are. If you know another pastor that needs a deliverance or a miracle in his church, go to him right now and speak the word of faith. Everybody in this building, be used of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I take authority over cancer. I take authority over diabetes. I take authority over liver disease. I take authority over high blood pressure. I take authority over high cholesterol. I take authority over all sickness and all pain. In the name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Would you lay your hands on somebody, whoever's close to you, and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost over them? Whoever it is, lay a hand on them and pray the prayer of faith. It's happening in the balcony. It's happening in the balcony. Right now. Right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh God, let healing come right now. Healing, healing, in the name of Jesus. Oh yes.
word. Okay, everybody, listen to me. Everybody look up here just for a minute. Everybody look up here just for a minute. Everybody listen to me. Everybody look up here just for a minute. There's nothing we do in an apostolic church any harder than what I just did right there, trying to get apostolics quit worshiping. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. 1 week from Saturday, I leave for Thailand. It'll be my 30th year to go to Thailand. We see great miracles there every time we go. We always preach to people with leprosy in Thailand. Leprosy is still very much a part of their world. There's people that will come to that conference that their faces are twisted in the most hideous, horrible to look at. They have no lips. Part of their ears are gone. Some of them, their eyelids are gone. Their hands look like this. There's no fingers. It's stubs on both their hands. Some of them walk on the stubs of the end of their leg. Some of them no toes. These people that have been ravaged by leprosy. There'll be a bunch of them in that conference. The Bible said there were 10 lepers that got Jesus' attention. And he said, what would you have me to do? And they said that we'd be cleansed. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. That goes all the way back to the Old Testament where it says if a man had leprosy and the running open wound dried up. I don't want to make you sick, but leprosy, it's huge, infectious wounds that run all the time. And the Old Testament said if that wound dry up and if the redness goes away, that after 2 weeks, the priest can say, you can go home. He can restore them to their home. And so reaching all the way back to the Old Testament, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And basically, 2 weeks from now, you'll be back home. And as they're going down the road, 10 of them hobbling on the ends of feet and arms and legs, one of them said, you boys go ahead. I want to see the family as bad as you do, and I want to get the process started as bad as you do, but there's something I've got to do. And one went back, threw himself down at the feet of Jesus, and began to thank Him and magnify Him for what He did. Now listen to this. Jesus said, wasn't there 10 of you? Where's the other 9? But because you came back, hold on. He said, I'm going to make you whole. Now hold on. The other 9's going down the road and the sores are drying up and the redness is going away because they asked to be cleansed. But Jesus said, because you come back, I'm going to put those lips back on you. I'm going to put the earlobes back on you. I'm going to put the fingers back on you. I'm going to put the toes and the feet back on you. Because you came back, I'm going to make you whole. Now, God has begun miracles in many of our lives. We felt the presence of God.
We feel apostolic power and authority in this place. And we're thinking, this is it. I'm going to go home and it's going to be good. And it is. But there's another dimension. If you and I can stop everything we're doing right now and worship Him like we've never worshiped Him. Hold on, don't start yet. Worship Him like you've not worshiped Him in a long time. He's not just going to cleanse you. There's going to be a wholeness come into this place. There's going to be a deliverance come into this place. There's going to be a victory that comes into this place. Some of you were going home cleansed already. But right now, if you'll worship Him, if you'll give Him glory, He's going to make you whole. That's it. That's it. That's it. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. It's moving across this audience right now. Right now. Some of you ought to dance before the Lord. Some of you ought to jump up and down and clap your hands and wave your arms. I come against every devil. I come against every spirit. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. In the
In that story,
hallelujah.
This was just the praise phase. He came back and worshiped. And then it looks like the Lord did another miracle. But it wasn't another miracle. It was just more of the first miracle. It's like Jesus said, I'm glad you came back. I wasn't finished yet. When He returned, the Lord released the rest of the miracle. As we return in restoration to the doctrine, to worship, to demonstration, the Lord can release the rest of what He's had in mind for us from the very first time He touched us. So I'm going to pray right now in prophecy. And I am prophesying to you that as you are worshiping tonight and in this shout, every miracle the Lord has ever begun in you, every anointing that ever came, this
Hear
is how
it.
You're going to defeat the
Hear
devil.
It.
It is reactivated.
Oh, yeah.
Not just what's happening tonight, but a touch from 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I reactivate
yeah.
it now in the name of the Lord Jesus. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, by the authority of this Word, I reactivate every miracle. I reactivate every anointing. I reactivate every ministry. And I prophesy that it shall be released all at once, as a former and a latter rain. Would you shout with faith, hallelujah! La 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 Can you feel it? Can you feel your old anointing stirring up? Can you feel your old gifting stirring up? Can you feel that old vision stirring up? That old with this new is a double portion anointing.
Right on.
Feel good about that?
Right on.
Put your hand on somebody close by and say what I just said. I reactivate every miracle. I reactivate every anointing with this prophetic word, with this prophetic anointing. Hey, no, that's it. Jesus, in Jesus' name, the anointing of every elder of this apostolic movement, beginning from the apostles until now, every elder and every mantle that's in the grave, may it be reactivated in this last day apostolic church, along with every new ministry, along with every new anointing.
There's some anointings of the elders that's being released in this house tonight. It's going to become your anointing. It's going to become your ministry.
The anointing your pastor had, the anointing your mentors had, the anointing your spiritual fathers had, it's still in the apostolic church, but it's time for you to claim it. It's time for you to own it. It's time for you to say, it's my ministry. It's my mantle. It's my anointing. It's my day to be the release. I reactivate every healing touch, every healing miracle, every deliverance. I release you in the name of Jesus. Woo! I release your mind. I speak a word of deliverance to your mind. I speak a word of deliverance to your emotions. And I speak the word of deliverance to your physical body. I prophesy to this apostolic church, there will be an increase in flow, an increase in the flowing power of the Holy Ghost. We will be more than anointed, and we will be more than doctrinally right. There will be a flow of the power of God that comes among us. I release you into the flow. Would you just flow in the Holy Ghost wherever you are? That might mean speaking in tongues. That might mean speaking the prophecy to somebody next to you. There's a flow of the Holy Ghost. There's a flow around you right there. Enter into the flow. The anointing oil's right there. That's it. Flow in it. Flow in it. Flow in it. Let it flow through you. You might break out an intercessory prayer for the revival of your city, or for a lost prodigal that was prophesied coming home. Nobody can pray for your prodigal like you can. Nobody can pray for your family like you can. There's coming an anointing right now in the flow of the Holy Ghost.
We believe he needs to tell them this. He said this is just the beginning.
Tell me when you're okay. Let it go deep. Let it sink down deep. We're not near finished here. We're not even close to finished here. Let it sink deep. Shake off those heavy bands. Shake them off. There is the gift of faith coming up in the balcony. I just saw a streak of light go right across the top of that balcony. All the way up in that balcony, would you release the power of the Holy Ghost in you? Woo! I hope you can feel. Can you go deep with it? Wonder what a deep flowing in the power of the Holy Ghost would sound like with all of this crowd. The anointing of every generation of elders that has come before us is active in this room right now. Every ministry that has ever been is flowing in this room right now. From the day of the apostles to this present moment, every elder that is laid to the grave, their ministry is active in this room in us right now. How did your elder pray? How did your elder flow? What was it like when you first believed? I command in the name of Jesus tumors to disappear. Growths and swellings to disappear and be dissolved. Every cancer to retreat and be gone in the name of Jesus. I release the apostolic anointing given to us from that first century church until now. Blind eyes, I command you to open in the name of Jesus. Deaf ears, I command you to open in the name of Jesus. I command arthritis to flee in the name of Jesus. Touch every weak heart. Touch every weak, contaminated, diseased stomach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gifts of healing are flowing. Chains are breaking. Deliverance is moving. Anointing is being refreshed. Every work of the Holy Ghost is in activity. Every one of the nine gifts is flowing somewhere in this room.
All right. Can we raise our hands? Can we thank God for an invasion of the Holy Ghost tonight? Thank God for the word we heard from Brother Cunningham tonight. My pastor, Brother Tenney, let me have your attention. Brother Tenney has a word from the Lord.
This is not the end of Because of the Times 2015. This is the beginning. You are going to take this spirit and this anointing, and because of the times that we live in, you're going to ignite something in your church. You evangelists are going to leave with a fresh anointing. You missionaries are going to have new beginnings. Why? Because of the times. It's not just the name of a conference. God trusted you to be alive today. You could have been born 500 years ago. But God chose you and matched you with this hour because He trusted you. And we cannot fail Him. We cannot fail Him. Because of the times, we leave here flowing in the Holy Ghost with our wells unstopped to reach the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that's why we leave this place, because of the times.
Could we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving there for that? My word tonight to close this meeting is there is a reason why we heard what we heard.